Everybody thought we were grouchy last week.
Were we?
No, I don't know. Well, because we were yelling about indie games and Wing Commander and just, I guess, being grumps. But I regret nothing. I meant everything I said. Except for Wing Commander, which I guess was half what I said. Because I saw a full motion video thing, and apparently it stars Biff Tannen and Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I did not know that. That's funny. I don't know about the game, but yeah, I'd watch it as a movie. Not the actual movie, but... Isn't the movie good?
No.
Why not? I think that would work, since the whole game is just full motion video.
I think it stars Freddie Prinze Jr.
Who's that guy again?
Exactly.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. We're April 3rd, 2013. This is right? Mike Minot. Yes, it's right. So there.
Nope, it's the 4th.
Okay. April 4th. I was so proud of myself, too. I'm like, oh, it's race right, the 3rd. And then...
No.
Nope. All right, it's April 4th, I guess, 2013. This is Mike, joined by AJ.
Hey.
The usual. This is the Exploding Barrel Podcast. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. My topics this week are LucasArts. In the end thereof, then also I've been noticing this sentiment this week about shooters that shouldn't be shooters, ? So I want to talk about that. What do you want to talk about, Ashga?
I was going to talk about how High Moon Studio got laid off, after finishing the Deadpool game, but before it even came out.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there were some raucous parties at GDC
Uh-oh.
That caused concern.
All right, well, let's start with LucasArts, because I'm sure it's that. So, LucasArts has been shut down. Which, it's weird because it was surprising and not surprising.
It was not surprising at all to me.
I mean, I thought, I knew that they were grinding to a halt, but
Do you think it was just going to get, significantly reworked or something?
I thought there was always going to be a LucasArts, I guess. I never really realized that they would just shut it down. But it's not surprising. The two factors, they haven't done much of anything. They haven't even released a Star Wars game in a while. What's the last thing they did?
Force Unleashed 2, I guess.
And, I mean, they published The Old Republic.
Yeah.
Which, ooh, ouch. but, and then the other thing is, we know that Disney does not like AAA games right now. They still feel very, kind of scorned by the Epic Mickey experiment.
Well, I think more than anything, Disney is not the biggest fan of internal development.
Mm-mm.
They'd rather just license it. And why not?
I guess so, but the problem is they have, and, that makes sense for Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Are they going to even be interested in, the Monkey Island and all these other franchises
they
that
can
are,
license that too. Why not? Well,
and this was a problem even before LucasArts was closed. They, everyone was going those guys, I love them because they made Monkey Island, but they don't do anything with these franchises.
Well, you had Telltale.
Yeah, Telltale, and that
make
was about
Monkey
it.
Island.
That was the last time we had that. They don't even own Sam and Max anymore, right?
No, well, Telltale licenses that from Steve Purcell directly.
Oh, okay, so that's how it works. So I guess, it's not, as bad as you think it is, because nothing really changes.
Well, I mean, LucasArts, for all intents and purposes, had a major downshift, I guess, in 2003, when all those guys left to create Telltale, and then they made Walking Dead, so I guess we can't complain about that.
No, I mean, Telltale and Double Fine definitely the, spiritual successors of what once made LucasArts great.
Yeah, I mean...
But, I mean, it's sad in a... In a very nostalgic kind of meaningless sense.
Only for that. Only for that. But, aside from... I enjoyed The Force Unleashed. Sometimes
I feel
fine. I like it more than most.
I liked it more than it deserved.
Right. But seriously, what in the last 15 years has LucasArts even made that Republic Commando, maybe?
Republic Commando was good. I mean, KOTOR, again, that they didn't really make that. They
right.
That
again,
out.
That was a license. And that kind of stuff can still happen. But, what, are we sad that we're never going to get another game like Fracture or RTX Red Rock?
I forget they had something to do with Fracture. RTX Red Rock.
Right.
That's a fun
game. That's what I'm saying.
Funny.
That was the company we lost. The company that made Fracture and RTX Red Rock.
Yeah, I
and
know.
Bounty Hunter.
I guess I just wish things were different. I guess I just wish that there was a
LucasArts.
Oh,
sure.
That's
and people are upset now that this means we'll probably never get Star Wars 1313. And what was the shooter?
First Assault.
Yeah.
That said, because 1313 looked good.
Well, yeah, apparently even what we saw of 1313 at E3 last year was already out of date. Because by then, Lucas himself came in and was like, make it about Boba Fett. And that always goes well.
That's not a terrible idea.
No, but how many things have been ruined because someone's working on something and Lucas came in and said, well, we'll make it this. Yeah.
Eh, that doesn't bother me. What do you mean by that exactly? I mean, Lucas is in charge. Like, what else has he done that for?
I don't know.
I don't understand what you're...
All kind of stuff. Indiana Jones 4, for example.
Yeah, but he... Well, yeah, because he was the director in Indiana Jones 4. Of course, he made decisions. He was the producer. Director. Whatever. He was creatively in control.
Well, I'm just saying, how many games do you know of that have been in development where they've been, like, scrapped twice, and then on the third go, someone comes in and is like,
Are you talking about the Star Fox Adventures phenomenon?
Stuff like that,
I understand what you mean. But, I mean, again, the problem with Star Fox Adventures wasn't that it was reskinned as a Star Fox game. The problem with it was that it was stupid to begin with. I don't think... That doesn't bother me that they shoehorn Boba Fett into it. Whatever. But it doesn't matter now. It's a moot
right.
point. Yeah. I mean, I guess... I think it's kind of telling that the studio never could get it together to release a Battlefront 3. Which probably would have made money. Would have been received well. But they just, like, couldn't do it.
And again, it was not being made by LucasArts.
Right. But
that was Free Radical. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they've been making very many games at all lately.
Right. But I do wonder now, like, what's it gonna be like? Like, we're gonna see, like... Are we going to see all these Star Wars Facebook games? Are they going to... Is EA going to, like, buy or get, you know, license for the Indiana Jones franchise? We're going to get some kind of dumb Indiana Jones game, and it's
maybe.
Like... What? Maybe on the flip side, maybe some cool studios will be
involved.
Yeah,
well, maybe Disney licenses Eidos and Crystal Dynamics to use the Tomb Raider engine to make an Indiana Jones game. I mean, that's...
Why not?
That's a possibility. Remote, but it's a possibility.
Right, so... I guess what the sewer goes. I mean, it is sad because it's, you know, those 90s adventure games. Really, that's what I'm upset about because those were the games.
And it's
I
not
loved.
Like we're losing them. We've watched those for decades.
Yeah, they've been gone.
They've been gone forever.
Gone. Well, like I said, it's like we have like weird resurgences, like the Tales of Monkey Island thing. But
the only thing LucasArts did was that Lucidity. It was like, oh, this is LucasArts' return to adventure games.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot that happened. That's funny.
Exactly.
Did you see the first trailer for the Double Fine adventure game? It has a name now.
Yeah, I forget the name.
Broken World or
something.
Looked cool. It has that sort of art style that, like, I'm not high on. You know what I mean?
Because it looks like something that could be made easily.
Right, and I understand, but it looks like a paper show kind of thing. Like, you know, it looks like, oh, we could animate this in Flash really effectively, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
And I get it, but it's, whenever I see it, I'm like, eh, okay.
I'm kind of sick, too, like, all the people are like, oh, fucking Disney, what have you done?
Right, it's not
like,
Disney's
look, Disney's
fault.
Not the bad guy here.
I mean, it probably didn't help things, but I'm sure Disney saw, oh, look, we don't want this. And like I said, Disney doesn't really have much to do with game development anymore. If Disney Infinity doesn't do anything for them, they might just be out altogether.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. They're like, screw it. Where's my water?
Oh, that's made all kinds of... Oh, the Phineas and Ferb version of that? That thing's printing money.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure you like Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
Where's my force?
Oh, that's great. You can, like, direct the midichlorians through
exactly.
Anakin's blood.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's trying to force push. Get the midichlorians to his fingertips.
It's going to be like that. All right, so...
Well, I mean, speaking of developers getting laid off, so High Moon Studio just...
Well, not all of them. They lost a lot of people.
40 people.
Right. That's not all of them. I mean, I assume they had a staff of 100. I don't know, but... I mean, this seems to be what happens, though, right? I don't mean to be cold to it, but it seems to be what happens
well,
after...
It's what happens when you
make
a game for, like, Activision or EA.
After development of a big game, they lay off most of the staff. They kept a few on, probably for patches and, I'm assuming, DLC or something. But what happens? I mean, and hopefully they'll find jobs again for some other soulless studio, and that'll be it.
Like, do you see this as, like, a problem with the way the game industry works? I think it was at GDC, some guy from Pixar made some snide remark like, yeah, after we finish a movie, we don't fire everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure they do it because, I don't know, I don't want to make excuses for them, but they, for some reason, they economically think they have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they would like to not fire everybody. I still feel like there's this problem where games are, for whatever reason, more expensive to make than they should be. And we had these weird problems like, oh, we'll never be able to turn a profit. Oh, this game sold 6 million copies. Not enough. Fire everybody.
But is that more because the management doesn't
Well, that's the thing. We'll
doing?
Never know. But it's clear at this point, if every game released this year has apparently been a sales like disappointment, then, you know, where does the error lie? And, you know, I don't know what you got to do. I think that
My thing, too, is, like, what if this game comes out and it's a runaway success?
Well...
Do they get hired back?
Maybe to get work on Deadpool 2.
Let me pose it to this question here. Let's say you're a guy who came out of Full Sail. You know how to write some code. Do you take a job with Activision?
Right now, sure. Take any job you can get, probably.
I think that's the problem.
Well, sure, that's exactly the problem. There is a lot of leverage there. They can kind of do what they want.
Yeah.
Because people want jobs, making games. I don't know. Look, in a couple months, they'll probably have to make another Transformers game or whatever and hire some people back.
I just wonder when the gaming industry job pool is going to kind of hit the ceiling.
Not everything is like this.
I understand, but, like, it feels like... No. Yeah, because our generation are the ones who grew up with games, we're like, oh, we're going to make games. Like, there's this expectation almost that, like, yeah, like, we're going to hire everybody and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't know. If I said I want to make movies, I don't think I'm just going to go to school and get a job making movies. You know what I mean? You still like the disconnect there?
No, I know what you... Well, depends what you want to do making movies. You want to be, like, an actor, then sure, it's harder. But, no, I mean... I don't have numbers, but I feel like if you want to get into game design and you go to school, you graduate, get a degree, you can probably get into game design. You're probably going to lose your job a bunch. It seems like a very large amount of these people bounce back pretty quickly.
Yeah,
right?
There's still a demand for it. If you get laid off like a movie production, all the movies are in L.A.
That's sort of
the games industry is all over the place.
That's a generational thing in general. It seems like the time of, you know, I'm going to work 50 years at this place and then retire or whatever.
Yeah, that's
true. Not really the thing anymore. That's not what happens. I mean, you know, like, I mean, heroes in the industry have been moving all over the place. God knows what they're doing. No one sticks around in the same place. And it sucks to lose your job and get fired and all stuff. Hey, ask LucasArts. Okay. So, I've been seeing this sentiment from a couple places about games that shouldn't have been shooters. First off, Daniel Sims, a.k.a. Red Swirl, actually wrote a community article on GamesBeat. It was entitled, Uncharted and Tomb Raider Would Be Better If They Weren't Shooters.
Uh-huh.
And then, around the same time on Kotaku, Kirk Hamilton wrote an article called The Problem with BioShock Infinite's Combat. And again, he's basically arguing that he wishes the game wasn't a shooter.
Okay.
But now the argument is that these games have these sort of emotional cores or whatever, and it sort of gets ruined by the loudness and, like, the sort of offset violence and the, like, over-the-top action you feel that a shooter does.
So is this essentially a pseudo-ludo-narrative, whatever it is?
Yeah, it's a ludo-narrative dissonance thing, exactly.
Which Sean Elliott came out on Twitter and said anyone who's arguing that is an idiot.
Well, what did he say?
His basic defense was, like, it's like looking at a... Oh, shoot, I forget this specific example. Some kind of stylized artist, maybe like, these angles don't make sense.
My problem with this theory is, you know, and this really started with, like, Uncharted 2, where you start hearing this a lot. Everybody gets really hung up on the fact that you kill a lot of people.
Well,
and I understand, but my problem is, I don't know if this is just the way I've assumed people were supposed to do it. I never take that literally. I never am, like, literally like, yeah, I killed 1,000 people. You know, I mean, that's the game because, you know...
It's a game.
For better or worse, violence is kind of all we got for these games. When it comes to turning player input into player satisfaction, violence is kind of the way to do it right now. Even, like, platforming, it's still essentially violence, you know? Like, hitting things, jumping on things, it's just for whatever reason, it's the best way to manipulate
Mario's
your environment.
A violent murderer.
And that's not going to... There's obviously exceptions, but, like, you know, like, they're niche products usually, like puzzle games or, like, an adventure game. And until we get advancements in other areas, like AI, where we'll be suddenly able to, like have almost, like, a Milo-type experience, but for real, where you can change your environment more by interacting with it, by, like, conversing and doing things. Like, until that happens, violence is going to kind of always be a thing. I mean, look at Minecraft. It's like, oh, yeah, I build anything you want, but watch out for the zombies! Better build a sword!
Yeah, no one talks about that.
Right, you know,
Well, I didn't read any of these articles. I didn't read the BioShock one because I won't spoil anything. I didn't know about Daniels. Do they argue there should be no gunplay or just significantly downplayed gunplay?
Well, the BioShock one was kind of twofold. He was just saying the gunplay had problems he didn't like as much as BioShock's. Which is a whole other thing I could argue against. Well, he was weird because he had this, like, point where he, like, made a bullet list of, like, his typical encounter in Bioshock Infinite as if to trying to show them how mundane it is. But his bullet point has like 20 items on it.
It's a pretty good list.
It's like, it's weird. He didn't make his point.
Well,
very good.
Here's the point I was kind of driving to. So let's say you feel that in Uncharted 4, we're going to make it narratively sound. So similar to an Indiana Jones movie, Nathan Drake is maybe only going to shoot and kill 6 people in the whole game. Okay? When you shoot those 6 people, if it is not as mechanically sound as a shooter where you kill 1,000 people, you have a problem. But you're never going to get a publisher to let you invest in creating a shooting mechanic and shooting system that is as polished as any shooter in the world, so you could shoot 6 people.
Well, Daniel Sims trying to make this point where Amy Henning basically says something. It's like, look, if you made Raiders of the Lost Ark into a game and you killed 3 people in it, no one would buy it and they would play and say it was boring. Now, Daniel tried to argue, like, we did make Indiana Jones games like this, like the Last Crusade adventure game and the Fate of Atlantis adventure game. But he's almost kind of proven his point there, because those are... You can never make an Uncharted adventure game and try to pretend it was the next Uncharted and have it sell as much or be as publicly accepted. You just can't.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You were kind of able to get away with that in the 90s. And, as much as we love Fate of Atlantis, compare its sales to, probably whatever...
Doom.
Compare it to probably... I tell you what, I bet you Tomb Raider and the Infernal Machine, whatever the fuck, probably sold more than the Fate of Atlantis.
You mean Indiana Jones and the Infernal
Machine? That's what I say. Tomb Raider. Yeah, whatever. The same thing. I never take it literally. Suspending your disbelief with that, where I'm just, I don't think like, oh man, and Drake killed like 2,000 people in one day. That's weird. Of course that's weird. Of course that's unrealistic. Of course that would never actually happen.
I got a controller in my hand, so...
That's what the game
is. Yeah, I guess it's just depends on your mindset. It's never bothered me.
And it just... I think the games almost started this problem, because they try to fix it the wrong way. They try to fix it by referencing it in the game.
Yeah.
Which draws attention to it. Like, that's what Uncharted 2 did it.
Yeah, and it was... The guy brought it up, and Nate, made this face, and then it was like, that was it.
Then he, shot him and said, I'm nothing like you, as he killed him, which didn't prove anything. And Tomb Raider is the same thing towards the end, where they were like, oh, you think I'm a monster? How many people have you killed today? I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
See, now you're kind of pointing at it, and now it is weird, Now I'm thinking about it. Before, I don't really care. Look, I would love nothing more than to have less violent games, I wish that we could have an Uncharted game where you didn't have combat or whatever. Would it be better? I don't know. I don't know what you would do.
Well, I mean, just as I'd say a shooter, I like shooters that break up the combat with having things to do, like platforming or environmental navigation. It goes both ways. You can't have a game that's pure platforming and environmental navigation. You need something to break that up. You need the shooting.
Bioshock Infinite, as much fun as it's just walking around and kind of taking stuff in. I mean, if you didn't shoot anything, after a while, it'd be kind of, okay. Nice, I'm walking around, nothing's happening. And the problem is why I say, well, what would you do then? And everyone immediately jumps to adventure game. Okay, everything can't be inventory puzzles,
Plus, Walking Dead, a lot of violence.
Like I said, yeah, exactly. Like I said, once we get to the point where you can literally have a game where, you are dropped into Columbia, and you go talk to people, and they all have, a personality, and they all know certain things.
You can,
things.
Talk them down.
Talk them down, try to learn from them. Like I said, it's just once you can have basically full on hologram stuff almost, except it's not a hologram. Where you're playing an adventure where it's really I'm immersed in this environment, and it's like I'm literally there because I'm talking to people and they're interacting with me, and I can do a weird thing here's a cup from a bathroom. Why am I waving this around? People respond to that. Just random shit like that.
Yeah.
Where literally it's like a weird sandboxy thing, but there is an overall narrative. Once we have that, we're kind of stuck with violence.
And then
you
get the people, too, who are like, well, Metal Gear, you don't kill anybody. You could trank everyone. I'm like, look.
You're still shooting
them with a gun just because they fell asleep instead of die. Guess what? They're not real. It doesn't matter.
And like I said, there are a lot of, people, I don't want people to be like, look, this game doesn't use violence, blah, blah, blah. And I get that, and it's great. But like I said, Charlie can't just be like, we're going to be like Limbo now. Which, again, is still a game with violence.
Limbo's an incredibly violent game.
What isn't, All these games we like, Bastion, Raid.
Journey.
Yeah, Journey! Does Journey have violence?
No, not really.
Yeah, Journey was nice, I guess. Journey is kind of a step in the right direction. But again, how many more games can you do where you just kind of walk and jump?
Yep.
It's a pure platformer game. So, I'm glad that they open up this discussion, but I ultimately have to disagree. I don't think they'd be better if they weren't.
I've seen no one provide a suitable alternative yet.
Right, exactly.
Is there a problem? Maybe. Is there a solution? Not yet.
Yeah, we'll see. And I'm sure that, you know, this is going to get, I'm sure it's going to get brought up again when The Last of Us comes up. You're going to be like, oh my god, that little girl helped kill so many people. I'm like, okay. The Bioshock point was weird, though, because he was just really, I guess.
I don't know, you played the first Bioshock, you shot people, man. What did you think was going to be different
about
this one?
It's probably more of a shooter. Well, in that, it's more fast-paced as a shooter, where you do have more enemies at you at once, and the environments are all,
I've heard some people make the argument, too, that, like, you know, the splicers in Bioshock were, like, at least interesting because, like, they had verticality and they were kind of monsters, even though they were people. And then this is just like.
The difference is in Bioshock, everybody has a gun. Yeah. There's no, like, except for, like, the guys, whatever, I won't say it. But, and some people don't like that there is, like, the shield thing. Everyone, else, and nobody likes the shield, you know, the recharging
shield. Yeah.
And it is kind of a thing. I guess Notch was very critical of that specifically.
Well, we'll talk about him in a minute.
You feel like we asked for Notch's opinion too much?
I mean, not to downplay it again.
And people,
this guy hates indies.
Yeah, we're getting grouchy. He made a game. Yeah, that's the problem. I kind of get... And, like, Minecraft's great, and it's very important. I understand that. It's like, it's all he's got, you know, right? Yeah. Did he make anything else?
He's making that Scrolls or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see how that is.
Maybe fine, but, again, it's like, I don't understand. This guy shouldn't be like our Guillermo del Toro or whatever, you know?
Notch, what do you think of this?
Yeah, and I get that I think we asked for his opinion more because he is like a nice, cool guy.
And he'll answer.
And he gives you very intelligent answers a lot of the time, right?
Yeah, no, people like that. Not against Notch. I like him very much.
But
actually.
It's, you know,
I, so you're that when I like him.
Right. I just don't think he should be like our authority, you know? He's not our leader. He shouldn't be a leader. Warren Spector just wrote a piece for Games Industry where he was asking who are our leaders or where are they? Now we don't really have them.
Yeah.
Which was kind of an interesting. And he was actually talking about a lot of stuff I was too, where, you know, we're kind of overrun with violence in games right now. And the problem is that's because, you know, what should we have happen when you push a button on a controller? You gotta probably punch something or shoot something, I guess, you know? Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be working on this. Like I said, this is probably gonna be a problem for at least the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So we can move on.
Okay. Well, so GDC was last week. Apparently some people are throwing some naughty potties. First, the IGDA, after like their, they had like a panel that was about women in the industry, and everyone was like, yeah, this is great. They had like a rave.
Yeah.
That was thrown at some place. It was apparently like, this is the kind of party this place has. And everyone was like, there's scantily clad women on stilts. I'm offended. Which is fine. And it caused, like, members of the IGDA to step down from their positions. And then, like, they were saying, oh, we didn't know this was going to happen. Well, it's your party. It's kind of your job to be like, what exactly is going to happen at this party?
Right, it's kind of weird.
Well, here's the best part. Apparently, the company who ran the party, Yetizen, I think is the name, It's the same company who ran the party for the last year when apparently this is a problem.
Oh, the same
it didn't
happen.
Get as much press last year because they didn't just have a panel about women in the industry.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of levels to this. I still hate this idea that, oh, we're offended. People must lose their jobs. And everyone's outraged on Twitter. You know, everyone's making their out. You know, I'm angry and stuff. And, you know, I get it's not great. And, you know, objectifying women bad and stuff. But I do get sick of it. And everyone knows I get sick of this stuff.
Well, did you hear about the party Notch had?
No, why?
So, he had some party somewhere, and apparently there were multiple reports of people saying this, that there were women at the party paid to just be at the party.
like
escorts, basically.
Really?
And he denies it, but at the same time, like I said, there were like 20 reports of this, of like, yeah, I talked to this girl and she said, I'm paid to be here.
What's he doing?
Mingling, hanging out.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's creepier to me than the girls who are there to dance for people in their underwear.
Right?
Because at least they're like, you know, they're doing that. Yeah, that's their job. That's what they do.
It's like, this person's enjoying themselves, no.
No, this is like sneaky, like, oh, I'm pretending. Okay.
Yeah, this is, again, games journalism about games journalism, but I'm not a games journalist, so fuck it. It seems like every time there is these industry trade shows, there's a lot of really extravagant parties being thrown. I don't know, me personally, if like I have like the 3 days of the year where I have to work the most, maybe that's not when I should be going to like a rave. Maybe I should be working.
Somebody's been to a couple E3 parties. I usually go to at least one because it is fun. And the counter argument
is that, oh, you mingle.
Right, you mingle. I don't know. And it's a decent, I mean, when you're at E3, you're literally going nonstop. It's nice to take a couple hours and just have some free drinks. I've been to the Pac-Man party, the Sonic party, and the League of Legends party.
Yeah, but you didn't go to, like,
nobody was scantily clad.
Yeah, you didn't go to the random rave.
No, I didn't go to a rave. I don't know. I barely know what a rave is, to be honest, but...
scantily clad women and lasers I get and glow sticks.
I do like lasers. But I'm not going to be all anti-party. Hey, it's one of the few perks. Free alcohol. I'll take it. You know, people can go, oh, you're not straight. You're like, why did you go to that party? Yeah, fuck you.
It just seems like every time there's like GDC or E3 or PAX, like all the games journalists I follow on Twitter are like, we were out till 3 a.m. I couldn't even see. I guess I got to go to this meeting now. I'm like, yeah, go to your fucking job.
Well, that's some of them that complain about it. I don't know. Look, what do you want? The industry sucks a little bit. Yeah, you know, like, it's kind of dumb. It kind of blows. I don't know if the parties aren't the big problem right now, but.
I thought it was weird that like it happened twice, like in the same day. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, these parties got out of hand. It's like, well, you went. The reason they throw these parties is because you go.
To be fair, parties by their nature can get out of hand. That's why they're parties.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like, I don't know, like everyone's upset, but I also think everyone's to blame, I guess, is what
I'm
getting
exactly.
At.
Look, it's like, look, hey, you want to have an industry where we all have parties a lot? Guess what? Sometimes you're going to have dancers. Get over it.
Yeah.
And... I mean, I don't know.
Unless you have a nice bonfire in someone's backyard, this is what's going to happen.
Right, again, there's like, I mean, I'm not going to get into the gender issue, really, because I know I'm no one smart to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
But, having said that, everybody is offended anymore, and I'm sick of everyone telling me how they're offended. I really am. I don't, at this point, I don't care. I know, maybe I don't get to say that as a white male, whatever, but I really do get
sick. You can say whatever you want. We have freedom of speech in this country.
That's not what freedom of speech means, but okay. Yeah. All right, is that it?
Yeah.
All right.
On the Google Plus community, Jeff Mossop, who is a Canadian fellow, brought up an interesting point about Bioshock. For him, 90% of all the U.S. jingoism in the game went right over his head.
I never realized that would be an issue. I mean, I'm a pretty typical Yank, I guess, where I assume that our history is more important than everyone else's.
Yeah, but I mean, he's right. Like, I mean, we know Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin. Maybe
he probably knows them, but more so like the John Wilkes Booth. You know, not everyone knows like who killed Lincoln. Why would he care?
Yeah,
like, ran that one over.
Like Michael Pilon, who's also, I believe he's from Quebec. Like he caught it, but he says like he may have just spent more time learning about U.S. history outside of school. Like, yeah, but I guess that's just interesting, and maybe. Like, you know, I complain about a lot of Japanese games because they seem to go over my head. Maybe it is, like...
Yeah, maybe they have the same problem.
Maybe I've just never considered, too, how American games might work in that same regard.
Right. Yeah,
especially a game that's so directly dealing with American themes.
Right. Although those themes kind of become... They kind of get pushed aside as the game goes on. Like, right where you are, you probably already know. So you start seeing it less.
Yeah, it's becoming more about Booker and Elizabeth at this
point.
Right,
exactly. Like, once Elizabeth gets introduced, the whole, like... And I was always a little sad by it, but I guess it's fine because other things get brought up. But yeah, like that aspect, like the commentary on patriotism really kind of stops.
Yeah, well, I've heard people make this argument. It makes sense because like in Bioshock, the whole theme of utopias and things like that, there's a lot of shades of gray there. Like, yeah, maybe this guy had the right idea. It's just a bad execution or something. No one's going to be like, yeah, these white supremacists got something here. Like, you can't defend
onto
it or
right,
anything.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
But yeah, we were also... So, again, I brought this up on Google Plus because I keep hearing all these rumblings about how much better Aladdin was than the Super Nintendo. And apparently everyone thinks so.
I still think everybody is just wrong. Cause...
Yeah, I agree. You guys had the wrong system growing up.
That was not the one with the sword, right?
Right, you jumped on people.
What? No. I thought this was, maybe I'm just horribly wrong, but I thought it was always just like a well accepted reality that like, oh yeah, the there was two Aladdin games with the just one. I'm going to have to play them both again now and see.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't play as much as the Super Nintendo one, but I didn't play it because I played it was like, this is not as good as the Genesis one, and went back to that.
Not, I know. It wasn't as violent, and the
concession is that the graphics were better in the Genesis one, but the gameplay and level design
isn't that weird. Usually graphics are better in the Super Nintendo version. Yeah.
Well, because like I said, that one was made by Capcom. The Virgin Interactive made the Genesis one. That was actually worked on by Disney animators.
Okay,
they did all the pixel art.
Oh, it looked a lot better.
I agree. All right, so games.
I mean, I beat BioShock, and there's nothing I can say about it right now.
I'm gonna beat it now.
Hopefully, we can do a spoiler cast next week.
Yeah, I think that'll happen.
Okay, good. Well, what did you play then?
Not a whole lot else.
Oh, really?
I had planned to play all this stuff this morning, and life happened. So next week, I'll have all kinds of things to talk about. I'm in the closed beta for Marvel Heroes, but I think it's NDA'd. I say that out loud. It's Diablo with Marvel Heroes, though, so spoilers. But one game I'm very curious to check out, the demo came out yesterday, is Injustice Gods Among Us.
I do want to play that.
Yeah, so hopefully that's cool. Did you play anything else?
No, I'm done.
Wow. All
right, let's move on to releases.
Which we forgot to do last week. Which is too bad. I feel like I had some jokes.
Well, that Defiance thingamajig came out.
This is weird. Until a week ago, I was under the blatant assumption that this game is going to be free to play, and it's a $60 box product.
Nope. There you go. And
apparently it's not very good.
Eh.
Very buggy. Like, the 360 version is, like, terrible frame rate.
Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge.
Don't care.
Man, that wasn't good the first time. Double Dragon 2, Wander of the Dragons?
Huh?
What's that? For 360? Huh.
So, like, the neon thing?
Maybe.
Again?
I don't know. Battle Block Theater's finally out. I still really understand what this is.
I don't either. But I think it's good. Like Smash Brothers-esque.
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
No, that's about it. All right. Thanks for listening to the Explain Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Also, follow us at Twitter, twitter.com/explainingbarrel.
Am I allowed to make an appeal in here?
Yeah, one second. At Facebook, at facebook.com/explainingbarrel. And be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Go ahead.
So some of you may know, I work on an iPad and iPhone magazine called Outland Moto. And we are currently running a Kickstarter campaign to coincide with the launch of our first full issue. So if you would check that out in the iTunes Music Store and look for Outland Moto on Kickstarter and help us out, I would greatly appreciate that. Even if you're not necessarily into adventure motorcycling, there's a lot of pretty pictures. And the magazine's completely free and always will be free. So I'd really appreciate it if you check that out.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.